you, Lee and team. In just 2 days, we're going to be celebrating Jesus' birthday, and we want him to be at the center of attention of all that we do today. Now, the story of how Jesus came to us, it's amazing. It shows how God defied all the odds to show how much he loved us. And we're going to pause and we're going to look at some of those odds today. And I've got some friends who are going to be helping out. So it's going to be a little bit interactive today. You can kind of feel free to move around and shift a little bit as you like. We have all ages in here. But it is amazing how Jesus defied all the odds to show how much God loved us. See, the story of the Bible is all about Jesus. But it starts off with how God made everything perfect. And then we mess things up. Right then and there, the Bible makes very clear that we need a hero. And the Bible is all about the ultimate hero, Jesus. Do you know in the third chapter of the Bible, from the Garden of Eden, we're given the first promise about the hero to come. But you see, a lot of time passed from that third chapter in Genesis, from the Garden of Eden, all the way to the manger in Bethlehem. The Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, is all about how God was preparing the ground, getting things ready to send this hero. And he gave clues along the way to us. These clues are called prophecies. Now, how many of you all have played the game Hot and Cold? You know, you're getting colder, okay? It's a kind of a great game. You know, I used to play it growing up, and I played it with my kids, but you're looking for something, you're going hotter, colder, and you walk around. And the Bible lays out these clues, these prophecies. And by the time you get to the manger in Bethlehem, it is white hot. It is crystal clear that God's plan is all falling into place right here. So the chances of Jesus fulfilling all of these prophecies, all of these clues, is astronomical. There are over 300 clues given about Jesus in the Old Testament. Now, since I realize that most of you would appreciate eating lunch today, we're not going to go through all 300 of these clues. We are going to take just 8 clues that are laid out in the Bible, 8 prophecies about the Savior. And the odds of these prophecies, just these 8 being fulfilled in Jesus, are staggering. So I've got some friends who are going to help out with this today, and I really appreciate them all doing this. So break out your calculators if you want. And I want you to see the odds of Jesus fulfilling all these prophecies is amazing. Just 8 of them, 8 out of 300. So these prophecies tell us about where Jesus was going to be born. They're going to tell us some things about his life. They're also going to tell us some things about how he died. But you take all these together and they give us a picture of Jesus. And there's, humanly speaking, no way that all of them could meet together in one person. But they do. And these are the odds that God overcame to show how much he loves us. So first of all, I'd like to have Ryan Marburg come on up. Ryan is going to give us our first clue. And Ryan, when you come up, you just tell us the verse you're reading, and then you go ahead and you read it out to us. And you're on the microphone, buddy.
Location, Bethlehem, Ephrathah. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, you are too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you shall come forth for me, and who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from the old, from ancient days. Micah 5:2.
Great, very much. Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it. So this first one right here, this first prophecy is telling us where Jesus, where this hero is going to be born. And it's not as simple as we may think, because we can look back and we all say, yeah, we know Bethlehem. But there's 2 Bethlehems in Israel at the time. And God chose the smaller one of them to say that this is where the Savior was going to be born. And God changed history to make it happen, because he put it on the heart of the Roman leaders to say, you know, it's about time we did a census so we knew how many people were in the empire. And they came out with this whole plan, and they said everyone has to go back to the city from where their family descended. And that meant that Jesus' earthly parents went to Bethlehem which was King David's city, which was another prophecy, but we won't go there because we're going to try to keep it simple today. So the prophecy was that this hero was going to be born in Bethlehem Ephrathah, which is the Bethlehem in Judea, a section of Israel. Now, what are the odds of this happening? Well, a speaker took these possibilities, these eight clues, with a group of college students, and this is what they came up with. They said, all right, there's about 7,000 people living, a little bit more than 7,000 people living in Bethlehem on average in the times of Jesus. Then there were about 2 billion people that lived on the earth between when the prophecy in Micah 5 was written and when Jesus was born. So when you do the math here and you take 7,150, divide it by 2 billion, you get this number, 2.8 times 10 to the fifth. Now, for those of you that love math, that's a 2.8, and then you've got five zeros, okay? So that's a big number. So keep that in mind. The odds of that happening, of one guy being born like this, are small already. I'm saying there's going to be a person born, and this is where it's going to be. We're getting closer. Now, the next one, I'd like Zach Seeger to come on up, and this one is going to be telling us a little bit about the people around him. Zach, thank you, buddy.
Malachi
3:1.
Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me.
Great, thank you. So there, the second clue we're given is that there will be a forerunner, someone to announce what is happening. You know, when important people enter a room, people say, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. Back in the old days, when a king would enter a palace or a room, maybe trumpets would go off. Someone would say, here comes the king. Now, this hero that God sent us was going to have a forerunner. And the forerunner was the guy who announced him, John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the one who said, here comes the hero, and you can read about him in the gospel accounts. Now, what are the chances of someone having a forerunner? I mean, I know I'm not very important because I didn't have any forerunners, and many of us didn't. So these college students sat around and they said, well, we don't know, but let's be conservative with our guess. So we're going to say the chances of that happening are 1 in 1,000. Maybe 1 in 1,000 people has a forerunner come before they're born to say, I am here and my purpose for living is to tell you about this person who's going to be born. 1 in 1,000, okay? That's a forerunner. So bear that in mind. Now, the third clue we're going to look at, I'd like for Annie, if you could come on up. And Annie, if you could read to us from the book of Zechariah. And this is a prophecy.
King entering Jerusalem on a donkey. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Zechariah 9:9.
Great. Thank you. Great job. Thank you. Okay, so this prophecy is about this hero is going to come into Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, if you lived in that part of the world, Jerusalem was like the epicenter of everything, most important place. This hero was going to ride in style on a donkey. I mean, how much can you imagine the president driving in to, you think of the smallest, junkiest car you can think of, driving into town in that car. It just wouldn't happen. But this is the ultimate hero, and he is going to ride a donkey into the city. So these college students scratched their heads, and they said, that's almost infinity. How can you ever say that? But we'll be very, very conservative, and we'll say the odds of that happening are 1 in 100. 1 in 100 are the chances that a king might want to ride into a city on a donkey. I think that's a very, very conservative guess. So that's three of the clues that have been given, and they're all pointing us towards someone. And you're going to see that when we go through these clues, that only one person was able to fulfill them all. Now I'd like to have Kate Smith come on up. Kate, you're going to give us the fourth clue. And you're going to have fun reading it to us, aren't you? Good. Here you go. I'll hold this for you.
And if one asks him, "What are these wounds on your back?" he will say, "The wounds I received in the house of my friends." Zechariah 13:6.
Thank you very much. So we find something else about this hero. This hero was going to be betrayed, was going to be wounded by friends. This guy was going to be betrayed by people who said they were close to him. Now, that didn't happen very often. Your friends will usually stick with you. So the college students, again, scratch your heads and said, "We don't know, but I mean, that's not going to happen to anyone, but we'll make the odds 1 in 1,000. So 1 in 1,000 are the odds that friends would betray someone and turn them over to death. But then the prophecies get even more pointing towards one person. I'd like to have Zachary come on up. Now, Zachary, you can read to us from Zechariah as well. And you've got the fifth clue.
"Sold for 30 pieces of silver. Then I said to them, 'If it seems good to you, give me my wages. But if not, keep them.' And they weighed out as my wages 30 pieces of silver." Zechariah 11:12.
Thank you. So this hero is going to be sold for, betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver is what they said this hero was worth. Well, who would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver? Again, a college student said, "We'll never, the odds are way, way too high." But again, we'll be conservative and we'll just say 1 in 1,000. 1 in 1,000 are the odds that this hero would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. But then the clues get even more narrow because they tell us what's going to happen with those 30 pieces of silver. So the odds are just getting harder and harder and harder. And Alexandra, you're going to come on up and you're going to tell us the sixth clue right here. This clue is again from Zechariah, and it tells us how those 30 pieces of silver were used.
"Silver used to purchase a potter's shield. Then the Lord said to me, 'Throw it to the potter, the lordly price at which I was priced by them.' So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord to the potter." Zechariah 11:13.
Great. Thank you. So these 30 pieces of silver, not only were they betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, but 30 pieces of silver were used specifically to buy not just a field, but a potter's field. The odds for that happening are just crazy out of sight. But again, these college students said, let's just be conservative. So we're going to say it's 1 × 10⁵. That's 1 in 100,000 are the chances that one guy will fulfill this prophecy. So we're going to find out more about this hero that's prophesied, and James is going to read to us. James Marburg, why don't you come on up and read to us from Isaiah? This is a seventh clue, and we're getting hotter on the trail for who this Savior is.
"He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before his shearers is silent, so he opened his mouth." Isaiah 53:7.
Thank you very much. So the seventh clue is that this hero would be sentenced to death and would not defend himself. Now, I don't know about you, but if I've been accused of something that I didn't do, I would be saying, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, I didn't do it. I didn't deserve the punishment." But this hero was sentenced to death, and he didn't defend himself. That's one of the clues given in the Old Testament. We're going to look at the eighth clue right now, and I'd like Ben Seeger to come up, and Ben is going to tell us the eighth clue. Okay, buddy, you got this.
"Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men have encircled me. They have pierced my hands and feet." Psalm 22:16.
Thank you. Psalm 22, verse 16. Now, here's the crazy thing. This psalm was written hundreds of years, probably about 1,000 years before, or I'm sorry, about 800 years before Jesus was born. And crucifixion was not a form of punishment known to humanity then. But it describes crucifixion in which a person's hands and feet would be pierced. So after thinking about this, the college student said, that's crazy. How could all that fit into place? So they decided that after looking at the historical records of how many people were actually crucified in the Roman Empire, they assigned the odds to be 1 in 10,000. So, 1 in 10,000. These are 8 clues. And when you take all these 8 together, what do you think of the odds that they would all land on one person? We're going to do the math right here. So if you want, break out your calculators. We're going to see these are just 8 prophecies. We've got a slide up here which will show you. Here's the list of 8. We have the location. We have a forerunner. Well, let's go back. The location, 2.8 times 10 to the fifth. A forerunner, John the Baptist, 1 times 10 to the third. A king entering Jerusalem on a donkey, 1 in 100. Betrayed by friends, 1 in 1,000. Sold for 30 pieces of silver. Again, assigned just 1 in 1,000. Silver used to purchase a potter's field, 1 in 100,000. Innocent, yet didn't defend himself, 1 in 1,000. Crucified, 1 in 10,000. Now, these odds right here are all pretty conservative. Anyone want to take a guess on what they land at? The odds of this person with these very conservative odds fulfilling them all. Got it? Thinking about it. Here are the odds. The odds of all these numbers. Now, if you multiply them all together, do the math, 2.8 times 10 to the fifth times 10 to the third times 10 to the second times 10 to the third times 10 to the third times 10 to the fifth times 10 to the third times 10 to the fourth will give you an answer of 2.8 times 10 to the 28th. Now, let's make it very simple. We'll round it down to 1 times 10 to the 28th. Now, what that means, the number that you've got, when you say 1 times 10 to the 28th, you're talking a 1 here followed by 28 zeros. That is a huge number. So let's divide that, they decided in this classroom, by the number of people that have lived since the prophecies were given. And they estimated 88 billion. That's probably a mistake. It's even more conservative, though, if we say the reality was it was probably 8.8 billion. But we're going to go with their number because it makes everything more conservative. When you divide it all out and you do the math, the chances of one guy fulfilling all of these clues, all of these prophecies, is 1 times 10 to the 17th. So a number, again, you picture this, 1, 17 zeros after it. Now that number is so big that it's kind of hard to wrap your head around it. That's 100 quadrillion. So how big is 100 quadrillion? This is really important. Follow me on this. How big is 100 quadrillion? Any of you all know anyone from Texas? Okay? I mean, Texans are fine people, but every Texan thinks, I'm from the biggest state. I'm from the coolest state. Everything is big in Texas. So we're going to think about Texas. Texas is really big. Do you know that 6 Virginias could fit in Texas? 516 Loudoun counties could fit in Texas. And then if you were to take this room right here, this sanctuary, nearly 2 billion Cedar Run sanctuaries could fit into Texas. Now, this right here is a silver dollar, all right? Texas is big, you got that? If you were to take the state of Texas and cover it in 2 feet of silver dollars, that is a lot of money, okay? But if you were to take the state of Texas and fill it with silver dollars, 2 feet high, and then you would take one of those silver dollars and paint it red. And then when no one was looking, you would fly a helicopter over Texas, drop down there, you'd rappel down in it, you'd put that red silver dollar in there, and you'd shuffle everything around so it looked like no one was there. Then you took a guy and you blindfolded him at the Louisiana-Texas border, and you said, dude, you can walk anywhere you want in Texas, and then reach down and pull up a silver dollar. The chances of that guy picking up the silver dollar are about 1 times 10 to the 17th. Can you just imagine that? Starting at the Louisiana-Texas border, 2 billion Cedar Run sanctuaries big, 2 feet deep with quarters, and finding that one missing silver dollar. The odds are astounding. That's the odds of Jesus fulfilling just these 8 prophecies. And there are over 300 more of them pointing to him. That's amazing. God is completely in control. The odds of Jesus' birth and ministry falling into the way these prophecies laid out are just staggering. So when we celebrate the birth of our hero, of our Savior, it should make us think how great God is that he fulfilled all these prophecies. But you know, something else struck me as you think through these numbers of how big the odds were that God overcame. They tell us just a little bit. They give us just a little glimpse of how much he loves you and how much he overcame the odds to come for you. When we say things like, God so loved the world, so is just, you know, 1 times 10 to the 17th is just one little glimpse of so. That's how much God loves us. Because he overcame all these odds to send us a Savior. God could have done something a lot easier, but he chose not to. Because he wants us, every time we think of the manger, every time we think of Christmas, to think of his son and to say, that huge sea of silver dollars, that's just a tiny glimpse, world, of how much I love you. God loves us more than we can imagine, and he showed us by giving us his son. He overcame all the odds for it. When I think of Christmas and the birth of Jesus Christ, think of the impossible situations you might be facing right now. Maybe you've got a relational challenge. Maybe you've got a work challenge. Maybe there's a medical situation you're worried about. Whatever is on your mind, you think, this is big. But God is saying, it's not 1 times 10 to the 17th big. I can do anything. If I could arrange history to give you the Savior that you need, I can do anything. Will you trust me? You know, Jesus himself said to people, look, with God, all things are possible. So when I think of the numbers and the odds of Jesus Christ fulfilling them, it shows the greatness of God's love for us. And it also shows us that with God, all things are possible. Over 300 prophecies, clues about this hero to come, and we just looked at 8 of them. The odds of it unfolding as it did, almost impossible. Jesus is who God said he is. He's the hero, the Savior that we all need. And he overcame all the odds to give us the hero we need. This vast number just gives us a glimpse of how much God loves us. You know, when we say, oh, God so loved the world, that kind of is so big that we can't think about it. But I want you to think of the state of Texas, buried in 2 feet of silver dollars. That gives you a rough idea. He loves us more than we can imagine. And then God also calls us to trust him. He's able to do the impossible. With God, nothing, nothing is impossible. This is who we worship. This is whose birthday we celebrate. So as you think of Jesus, please don't think of Christmas as just a baby in a manger. Because that baby in a manger is so much more than a baby in a manger. That baby that was born over 2,000 years ago is God doing something which, humanly speaking, defied all the odds. It's God saying, world, I'm going to show you how much I love you. And he did it all in Jesus. So stop and think about that this Christmas season. God overcame all the odds to give you the hero, the Savior that you needed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us a hero. Thank you for being in total control of history, in total control of human events, in total control to give us the hero we so desperately needed. But Lord, thanks also for giving us a glimpse of how much you love us. Lord, may we cling to that. No matter how much we may mess up in life, we can't mess up greater than your love is for us. Let us take comfort in that. Lord, we all may be facing challenging situations, but you're greater than anything we face. Would you draw us to your son, Jesus, and just remind us how great you are? For it's in his name we pray. Amen.